Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. He has traveled the world to bring you the story. Get it first, fast, and unfiltered. Now, this is The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I didn't like jazz. I didn't like fun. I turned out a prime. I turned out a prime.
All right, we're back. We will take your calls later on in the hour about Marshawn Lynch. Maybe you can take... maybe you can take offense with my description of him as being a punk, but you'll have your chance. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Again, my point is, if you're Marshawn Lynch, you want to make a statement, don't show up, pay the fine. If you want to make a statement, we'll deal with that down the road. Earlier this week, I was talking about Tom Brady. And making the point that, I can't remember which national commentator it was over the weekend, but trying to put Tom Brady into some sort of historical context, you know, where he ranks amongst great quarterbacks, et cetera, et cetera. And this person made the point that if it wasn't for one team, specifically the New York Giants, the question would be moot. When you think about how the Giants beaten Tom Brady and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Think about the outrageous combination of events and just flat-out luck that helped the Giants win those games. And then you think what Tom Brady's career, what his track record would look like without those losses. And as this commentator said, and again, I apologize for not remembering his name, but it would pretty much render the discussion as to who is the greatest quarterback of all time moot. New York Times Magazine had an article that caught my attention about Tom Brady. It's called Tom Brady Cannot Stop. And it was written by Mark Leibovich. And what I like about it is Tom Brady is probably the least known famous athlete. I think in Mark's story, he refers to how Hillary Clinton's friends sometimes call her the most famous person in the world nobody knows. And as he said, he kind of thinks the same thing of Brady. And that's an apt description. We know he's married to the supermodel. We know he dated an actress and had a son with her. You know, we know he's a great quarterback. We know how good looking he is. You know the whole story, the background, the kind of chronic overachiever, et cetera, et cetera. But we really don't know about the guy. Mark Leibovich spent a lot of time with Tom Brady for this story. As he says in the intro to the story, it was essentially a four-year process. Mark Leibovich, a self-confessed Patriots fan, approached Tom Brady's agent 4 years ago with the idea of doing this story. And, this year turned out to be the year. We're very pleased to be joined at this time by Mark Leibovich, national correspondent for the New York Times Magazine. Mark, thanks so much for doing this. Listen, this is a terrific piece, and I love the way early in the story you set it up and the way you described it, because that is exactly what Tom Brady is. For a guy that we see on TV every Sunday, for a guy that we see being interviewed all the time, there's a distance, I guess, we feel to Tom Brady, isn't there?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, he is. I mean, obviously, he's very famous. I mean, everyone knows who he is. But I always thought he was pretty shallowly drawn. I mean, he has this kind of distance about him, this kind of faraway presence. And, you know, if you compare him to, like, Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers, who have these, you know, kind of everywhere, you know, commercial personas, they might as well be your next-door neighbor. I mean, they certainly have made themselves more kind of, not ubiquitous, but certainly, I mean, there's a much more of a approachable presence to them, whether they are in real life or not, you know, is another matter. But no, I always was somewhat, you know, not frustrated, but I always thought that Brady was not as terribly well known or understood, beyond the very shallow shorthands that we approach celebrity athletes with.
Mark Leibovich joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Mark, the story, the way it's written, and some of the textures that are woven into it, I like the you really get the sense of some of his gestures, some of his motions, the ease. I mean, your description of sitting in that you know, his apartment or his condo in New York, and him not knowing the exact address, just because he's never actually had to check, right? It's just the big building next to the McDonald's.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's this luxury apartment. I mean, I guess it's one of those buildings that has like one of those kind of made up addresses, like one something place or something like that. But no, that was pretty funny. I mean, we were kind of working out the logistics of how to get to his place. We were originally going to have lunch. This was last summer. And I got a couple of emails from him that morning. It was in New York. And he kept calling audibles, and he called them audibles, which I thought was kind of funny. And so finally we had to go to his house, and I was like, where do you live? He goes, oh, I live on the corner of 23rd and Madison. I'm like, well, you know, if you're ever at the corner of 23rd and Madison, it's like any million, there could be a number of addresses there, right? And, so he said, yeah, I don't know the address. It's the big building next to the McDonald's. So I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, and the funny thing is, too, is someone who, you know, has written, someone, a newspaper writer who's gone on location for stories, there's that great fear in the back of your mind that it isn't going to work out. I mean, I remember going to the Dominican Republic to do a story in the Alou family, and I'd set up interviews and all this. But once you get off the plane, you go, what the hell if they don't want to do this? I've just cost my company money to fly me to the Dominican Republic. And then when you get that thing, I imagine what's going through your head, the audible with Tom Brady going, this guy, wow, he really doesn't want to do this. But as it turns out, he comes across as being really genuine and just really just a guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I think, you know, I'm comfortable, you know, saying that, just knowing the people who are around him and people who, yeah, he's associated with. I mean, he's a very solid guy. I think he is very humble. I think he's obviously incredibly driven. I mean, he's one of the most devoted to his craft people I have ever met in any profession anywhere. You know, it's the kind of thing where, you know, Johnny Manziel could watch him and probably learn a few things. But just the hours he puts in every day, in season, off season, to just get his body right, and just the diet and just his commitment to sleeping. I mean, he's really... it's really quite an existence. And he, you know, he's very open. He said, look, football is everything to me, you know, other than my family. I don't have any hobbies, and that's why I want to keep doing this. And his goal, and I think one of the reasons he wanted to talk to me, is that he wants to really play into his 40s. And you know, I think if he's lucky, he could probably pull it off. You know, the question is luck, and you know, football career can end just like that, as a lot of people have learned. But, no, I mean, I think if anyone can do it, it's him, and I think it helps, obviously, to play a position where you are, you know, essentially protected like fine china, right, by the referees. But, look, there's also a precedent of star quarterbacks getting old in a less graceful way and things not ending well. So, I mean, you know, I don't think we know the ending of this story by any stretch yet.
Mark Leibovich is national correspondent for the New York Times Magazine, and as you point out, I mean, you're right. Quite often NFL careers don't end well. Quite often quarterbacks' careers don't end well. And Tom Brady's dad essentially wonders how his son's career is going to end, doesn't it? Because he you know, it's a salary cap league. We know that the Patriots are at least starting to think about the mortality, the football mortality of Tom Brady. And that when you're in a salary cap league and you got a guy who wants to play until he's 43 and a head coach who may want another quarterback in there when the guy's 39 or 40, it's not always an easy separation.
Oh, it almost never is. I mean, his dad actually, I said, so you think it'll end badly with the Patriots? And he says, yeah, it will end badly. And I don't think he said that as a knock against the Patriots. I think, you know, that, again, it's a very cold league. I mean, there are salary caps or non-guaranteed contracts. And you know, I mean, when you're that old, I mean, when you're getting to that age, I mean, the statistics do not bear out that it's easy to count on a quarterback into his 40s. But no, his dad said, look, I mean, they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, who was a second-round draft pick last year. He said, and they don't want to be caught with their pants down if, you know, something happens to Tom, like something happened to Peyton Manning when he was in Indianapolis, and so they were smart to do that. But I know Tom, and he wants to play till he's 70. I think that was an exaggeration. But, you know, if he has something left to, in his tank and he still wants to play and the Patriots want to move on, he'll go somewhere else. So, you know, I think it was a pretty realistic assessment. That might have come out a little colder than he thought.
Mm-hmm. What surprised you the most when you sat down to write the story and you looked at it and thought back to the time you spent with Tom Brady? What surprised you the most? Was there a moment, a situation or something where you just kind of looked at it and thought, kind of cool?
That's a good question. I mean, it's funny. I mean, I normally cover national politics, right? And I've interviewed presidents, vice presidents, first ladies, world leaders, that whole, I mean, I've been very, very lucky, but I don't think I've ever been as nervous as interviewing anyone as before him. But he's, you know, when you listen to the tapes of some of my interviews with him, I mean, he's really smart. I mean, one of the things that really surprised me is how smart he is about medical stuff. I mean, obviously, I mean, it shouldn't surprise me in retrospect because this is his life, right? But I mean, the guy can really, really talk at a pretty deep level about, you know, conditioning and strength and medical procedures and anatomy and stuff like that, which, again, I mean, this is his life, but when I was hearing him talk, I mean, I was thinking, man, you know, this guy should go to medical school. I mean, I don't think he wants to, but I was surprised by how versed he was in the technical aspects of how the body works and how treatment works.
You know, Roy Halladay, when he pitched for the Toronto Blue Jays, and I covered the Blue Jays, he was another guy who, I mean, he was routine-driven. He used to do Sudoku. Sudoku is a way of sort of focusing his mind.
And he was
really into, I mean, everything was done to be healthy. Everything was done to be healthy. And I remember talking to him one time about, I said, don't you ever have fun? And he said, you know what, for me, the process is fun. And that's always kind of stuck with me. And I think Brady might be a little like that. The process is kind of fun, isn't it?
I think it's defining. I think it's who he is. I mean, it's funny. Did Halladay retire? Is he still pitching?
He is retired.
He retired.
Yeah.
I mean, you sort of wonder with a guy like that, what happens after they lose baseball? And I said to Brady at one point, what happens when you don't have this anymore? I mean, what are you going to do? And he said, well, that's why I'm working to try to keep that off as long as possible. And I kept pressing him. I said, do you worry about confronting a void? And because, you know, even like people with shorter NFL careers, I mean, you talk to them and, you know, their bodies might be beaten up and, you know, they might have paid a price, but they'll always say, you know, nothing will ever match the camaraderie and the exhilaration and the brotherhood of that experience. And Brady just sort of said, look, I mean, when I don't have this to wake up to drive me anymore, it's going to be really, really hard for me. And, you know, I can see that. I can absolutely see that. And, you know, unlike most professions, football or, you know, professional athletes have a very, very racing-the-clock existence, and they have very, very few years of productivity and performance, and, you know, football being, you know, the harshest in this regard. And, so, yeah, I think he's aware of that. I don't know if he is fully prepared for what he might face, and hopefully he'll be able to do it in a way that he can ease into it and maybe plan a little more. But he, you know, who knows? I mean, I think right now it's sort of a fascinating evolution to watch.
The article is entitled Tom Brady Cannot Stop. It's in the New York Times Magazine, January 26, 2015. Mark Leibovich, the author. We're in conversation with Mark Leibovich. Bill Belichick, because of Deflategate, essentially, I wouldn't say throws Tom Brady under the bus, but he basically says, look, I'm tired of answering these questions. Why don't you go ask Tom about it? So Brady gets trotted out for that news conference. And, of course, I mean, Twitter just lit up during that news conference. What did you think when you saw Tom Brady up there? I mean, I didn't, you know, I just saw a guy who, in an odd way, He commanded the situation, but he did it by sort of, by just almost appearing as if he didn't really, he got it, and he understood why people were answering the questions, but it was just, there was a little bit of sort of sparkle there, I thought, in the way he handled it.
Yeah, it's funny. I talked to him the day earlier, and you know, I talked to him, I think, twice last week. Once was on Tuesday. The story hadn't quite blown up yet, so to speak. And he was kind of laughing it off. He said, you know, this is ridiculous. This is, you know, this is the stupidest thing ever. Then there was a report by, I guess, Chris Mortensen on ESPN that night where he said, where they reported that, like, actually 11 of the 12 footballs were underinflated. So then things got pretty serious. And I talked to him that Wednesday, and I asked him some pretty, you know, more direct questions. Mm-hmm. I said, so did they feel different? Do you prefer the ball a certain way? And he sounded nervous. He sounded nervous in a way that I hadn't heard him sound, you know, with me or really with anyone. And then, you know, he seemed pretty nervous, I think, at the beginning of the press conference, and then he really sort of found himself towards the end. But, you know, with a press conference like that, which is kind of a circus, it was, you know, the damage is sort of done. Although, look, I believe him. What can I say? I mean, mm-hmm. I think there's obviously a lot we don't know and we will learn. I think even in the worst case, well, not in the worst case, but I think if, you know, if Brady and Belichick and Kraft are lying now, that's really, really bad. But I think at the worst case, if they're found to have tampered with the balls, if maybe a ball boy or a locker room attendant or something, I still think at the very least we're talking about like a parking ticket level offense in the scheme of things. Now, you know, you could argue, oh, it's gamesmanship and they get caught cheating all the time. And, you know, I thought it was interesting to see Belichick kind of, you know, dismiss Spygate when he was asked about it on Saturday. He said, yeah, because the guy was videotaping a guy doing hand signals that 80,000 other people could watch. And, you know, I actually, it was interesting to watch him fight back and to watch the organization fight back in a way that they don't usually do. But look, we'll see where it ends. I mean, I think Brady loves being doubted. I mean, that's one of the themes of the story, is that adversity is really the thing that's driven him, and the sort of us against the world mentality, and no one wants me, and everyone thinks I'm not worthy. And I think, you know, this in a weird way plays into the whole narrative of his career.
Why do you think the relationship with Gisele Bündchen seems to work, you know, from a distance?
I have no idea. I mean, I never met her. I mean, I think they were careful to probably keep her as far away mm-hmm. from the house as possible when I was there. I mean, believe me, the first question I get from everyone is, hey, what's Gisele like? Is she hot? Or, you know, mm-hmm. stuff. Why do I think it works? I mean, I don't know if it works or not. I mean, I guess it works. I mean, I think it, you know, they obviously are both incredibly devoted to their careers. They both are in kind of racing the clock businesses in a big way. I mean, youth and conditioning is everything in both of those worlds. I think it works because they also have a lot of help. I mean, at one point I was sitting in Brady's house in Boston, and he said, you know, look, I'm very lucky. I mean, it's a caravan through here. And as we were talking, like, you know, the chef walked in, right? So the chef came in, and, you know, one of the nannies came in who takes care of the kids. And then, like, a team of four people who were finishing the house, because the house is still, you know, maybe 5% under construction, or the grounds were, and they walked in. And, you know, he's fully aware that he's lucky and that he and his wife can sort of do a kind of career-oriented existence with kids and everything, you know, because they have the money to do it. And obviously, you know, they're really rich. So that helps.
Mark, it was great of you to join us today. Thanks so much. It was a terrific bit of reporting and a terrific sure. piece of writing. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's Mark Leibovich. He's the national correspondent for New York Times Magazine. The article is Tom Brady Cannot Stop. Took 4 years to set this article up, and it is pretty much everything you need to know about Tom Brady and Tom Brady, his day-to-day existence, which is kind of cool. We don't often get to see that. We don't often get to get the glimpses of a guy that we get in this article, and we appreciate Mark joining us. Media day was yesterday at the Super Bowl. You all know that. The Seattle Seahawks are, I mean, it just seems to me to be, whether or not you like the team, it's an amazing collection of personalities. Probably one of the edgier teams, I think it's safe to say, that we've seen. Marshawn Lynch is a guy that provides a lot of that edge. I think he comes across as being a bit of a punk, to be honest. But I'd admit, I don't know the whole story. I don't know what drives him in his relationship with the media. I don't know what drives him. Dave Mahler is a host, talk show host, on KJR Sports Radio in Seattle. You can follow him on Twitter at SoftyKJR. And Dave Mahler joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Dave, thanks a lot for doing this. Why
no
does
Mark? I'm just here so I won't get fined.
There you go. I was going to say, yeah, $500,000 fine. What drives Marshawn Lynch to be like this?
He doesn't give a damn about the media. He doesn't care about talking to anybody. He's just there to play football and win games and ball and win games for the Seahawks and provide great moments for the 12th man. And the media can go get their quotes elsewhere, and he doesn't care. And frankly, Seahawks fans don't really care either when it's all said and done. I mean, there's 52 other guys in that locker room who will talk, and Marshawn's not one of them. This is the price the Seahawks fans have to pay for incredible moments from Marshawn, providing the backbone of the football team, the heart and soul of the football team, being the best running back in the NFL in some ways the last 4 or 5 years, then they'll sign up for it. I mean, it's not a real relevant concern among Seahawks fans at all, because the guy's been masterful for the Seahawks on the field ever since he showed up. He's never let this team down all through all his antics and all that, and color. You know, he's never, you know, let the team down as far as gotten himself in trouble to a point where it really affects the football team. He did have the incident in Oakland a couple years ago, but that really didn't turn into be, you know, a lot, you know, to be honest with you, as far as punishment, you know, as far as real impact on the football team. So, I mean, this story, frankly, is I'm so sick and tired of talking about it, because it means nothing on game day for the Seahawks. And I understand why the media does it. I understand why the national media talks about it, because it is a story from their perspective. But from our perspective in Seattle, it's totally irrelevant.
And, you know, people think about that team. They think of Russell Wilson. You know, they think of Richard Sherman. They think of the defense. They think of Pete Carroll, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Marshawn Lynch really is he is the driver of that team, yep, in some ways, isn't he? I mean, you watch him. No doubt. You watch the way they react to him when he you know, pounds out a big run. You watch the reaction in the sidelines, the reaction of his teammates. You can tell who's kind of the big dog there, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's exactly it. You know, the run against Green Bay. You know, go look and see how many guys ran down from the sideline to greet him across the goal line as he scored that go-ahead touchdown against the Packers, you know, last weekend. And, you know, I mean, you talk to guys on the record, off the record, they love this guy. You know, they love his heart. They love his soul. He's a different guy with them than he is with the press. You know, I was talking to running backs coach Sherman Smith yesterday, and he would tell stories about how him and Marshawn would have conversations from everything to politics to racism to sexual relationships. And you know, he's a deep thinker. He went to Cal. He's a smart guy. He's no dummy. He's not stupid. You know, he knows that, you know, more people know who Marshawn Lynch is because of what is happening with the media. I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, maybe soft core football fans who think of Marshawn Lynch and say, oh yeah, that's the guy in Seattle who won't talk to the press. I mean, you know, he's kind of transcended football in some ways with this approach to the media. Was that part of his plan? I have no idea. But I think in the end, the bottom line is that Marshawn is really, you know, beloved in that locker room, and that's not an issue with the players at all.
Dave,
they defend him. They come to his defense.
I know you got to scoot in a few minutes. I wanted to ask you, which team is more fun, this team or the previous Seahawks World Series or Super Bowl team?
Yeah, I'd love to have a World Series team to talk about.
Yeah, that would be fun.
You guys know what that's like in Toronto with a couple of them.
I'm not for a while.
For that moment. Which team was more fun to cover? Last year's team had Golden Tate on it and Brenno Giacomini,
right,
who were two fun characters to go talk to. You know, it's just been a different kind of animal. I mean, it's been a heck of a ride. I mean, this team was 3-3. They were 6-4. A lot of people thought they were done when the Percy Harvin story came down. People thought they were finished, you know. The fact that they were able to get rid of this guy and actually be better because of it, you know, is incredible. And the fact that Paul Allen, their owner, signed off on that deal, considering what they gave up to get Percy Harvin and how much they traded to Minnesota, how much they paid him. There's not a lot of owners in sports that would allow a deal like that to go down after they gave up everything they gave up for Percy Harvin. But you got to credit John Schneider and Pete Carroll for having the foresight to say, hey, look, we can probably be better without this guy. So that, it was a weird year from a standpoint of, you know, last year was kind of smooth sailing from week one to week 17. This year there were some bumps in the road, and I think for Seahawks fans and for these players, it just made it sweeter to get back here because of what they went through.
Dave, we appreciate you doing this. I know you got a show to get ready for. Thanks, man.
All right, no problem. See you.
It's Dave Mahler, KJR Sports Radio in Seattle. You can follow him on Twitter at SoftyKJR. That's a great nickname. We need to come up with a nickname for me, Travis. Not that nickname. Not that one either. Not the one that has the hyphenated word in it that Tim and Sid use. Not that one. We need to come up with a nickname. Softy's kind of a good name, don't you think? Anyhow, we appreciate Dave Mahler joining us. So, you got a little bit of the taste of New England Patriots from Mark Leibovich of the New York Times. And again, you got to read that article in the magazine. It's really good. I'll fire out a link to it after the show. And Dave Moeller gives you a sense of the Seattle Seahawks. And Marshawn Lynch. And just basically saying, you know what, Marshawn Lynch doesn't care. And that's fine. I get that. And I'm the guy who's been telling you for the longest time that if I was a professional athlete, there's a pretty good chance I wouldn't be talking to the media an awful lot either. I'm just not certain there's much of a percentage in it. And beyond that, I'm in some ways, I think that choosing your spots when you deal with the media is in some ways the key to a long career or a happy career, at least, especially now in this day and age of social media. But I also think that what Marshawn Lynch does when you show up and basically tell people, I'm only here for 5 minutes because I don't want to be fined. You know, to me, that's making yourself bigger than the game. That's making yourself bigger than the team. That, in effect, is being a publicity hog. If you really wanted to make a statement, then don't show up and pay the fine. And I looked at what the way Marshawn Lynch acted and the way he has acted, and I look at a guy and I see a punk. And that doesn't mean anything. I really don't think Marshawn Lynch gives a rat's ass what Jeff Blair thinks about him, and in the grand scheme of things, it probably doesn't make a difference to the sports world. But I want to get your take of 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Maybe I'm expecting too much. Maybe I'm just, you know, common decency, I'm expecting too much. How do you feel about it when you see Marshawn Lynch? Do you understand it? Does it bother you? Do you think that he's a guy bucking the system and kind of a rebel? Let's have a chat about Marshawn Lynch. This is the Jeff Blair Show. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision...
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined, so y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm going to answer with the same answer, so y'all can shoot if y'all please. I'm here so I won't get fined.
Restless dreams I walked alone. Narrow streets of cobblestone.
The Sound of Silence, Marshawn Lynch, saying a lot, saying nothing, deep thinker. Renaissance man, revolutionary, anti-establishment figure, punk. Welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show. We're taking you right up to Hockey Central at noon. I want to have a discussion about Marshawn Lynch and his performance yesterday at Super Bowl Media Day, which really is just, it really is the indication, like I said, that as a society, we're just swirling down the drain. I can't imagine, you know, and you know, as dumb as it is for media people to be there, like I said, it's basically the story is now going to report and how stupid it is that people are there reporting and how stupid it is reporting on how stupid it is. Even dumber, apparently there are people who actually pay to go and watch that. People actually go and pay to watch that. A bunch of sick people. I mean, I'll tell you what. Barnum and Bailey were talking about, or Barnum, whoever it was, that said there's a sucker born every day. They're talking about NFL fans. They'll pay for anything. Anyhow, Media Day's done for another year. You got the Super Bowl coming up, and then mercifully the NFL will be done. And the various police forces around the United States will be put on alert because there'll be a ton of NFL players with nothing to do. And you know what that means. Let's talk about Marshawn Lynch, his performance yesterday. And I made the point. I mean, if you really want to make a statement, You don't show up, you pay the fine. Now you're talking. Now you're talking about making a statement against the NFL and against society and against the media or whoever you feel has done you wrong. That's how you make a statement. Showing up and doing it, Marshawn Lynch did. He just come across as being a jackass. And not that it really matters. I understand. It doesn't matter. Marshawn Lynch doesn't care what I say. That's fine. But he still comes across as being a jackass. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is, as I said, maybe he's a deep thinker. Maybe this is performance art. Maybe he's a revolutionary. I don't know. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Take offense if you want. Clifton in Etobicoke, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What up, Clifton?
Yeah, I won't take offense, buddy. I'm in full agreement with you. As a matter of fact, listen, I've known Marshawn since he was a toddler, Jeff. And this guy was the guy who you would see crying on top of his lungs, rolling around on the ground because he wants his mother's undivided attention, Jeff. So now he is growing older. I was just joking about that part.
I know you are.
But now he's an adult, and he continues to do that, except this time he's playing on the media. But I'm surprised, like, the media, they haven't caught on to this guy's game. You leave him alone, and then you'll hear him complain that he's not getting the attention. Then we'll see the true Marshawn Lynch. Listen, man, like, I'm convinced that this guy just has an insatiable greed for attention, and these guys are just feeding this guy what he wants.
No, I agree. The media day, man, I'll tell you what, it's 140% in the media. It really is. It's we just perpetuate it, and I'll tell you, Clifton, it's like crack for the media. That's exactly what it is. I mean, they can't get enough of it. They complain about it. It makes their life hell. I've covered Super Bowls. I hate media day. It's a joke. You feel like you need a shower when you leave there because you cannot believe that you have just put yourself through that. But you do it next year, and you do it the year after.
This is a part I can never understand, man. Like, we have seen athletes with accomplishments that this guy could only dream of who have been able to stay away from the media attention.
Yep.
So what does that tell you? Take care, man.
Clifton in Etobicoke, as always, laying it out there. Craig Johnson on Twitter. Marshawn Lynch had a platform to talk about I can't breathe or any important issue he wanted. John Carlos, greater than Lynch. That from Craig Johnson. Think about that. That was a platform for Marshawn Lynch. You really want to make a change? Pretty good platform. Tyler and Barry, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yes, for you to call Marshawn Lynch a punk and a jackass, I don't know who you think you are to be calling him that.
Well, I'm hosting a talk show, and he's a punk and a jackass.
I've been listening to you for half hour. Like, you can hear me out for 5 seconds here. You know, the guy works his ass off. He's probably one of the most exciting running backs in the game
God.
Right now. Oh, God, he's not the most exciting running back.
Oh, that is, he's so special. He's so special.
Like you and come out and say,
he's so special.
Speak about the game itself.
Oh, he's special.
Anxiety.
Oh,
you know,
special.
Leave the guy alone. Maybe he doesn't want to go spend $200,000 to give to the NFL.
$500,000.
Give these billionaires because they don't need more money as it is. And people like you who want to call him a punk and a jackass, I think you need to think about people who think you're a jackass.
You done? So. Bye-bye. Dave in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead, Dave.
I must say, both of them have got two peas in a pod. Both of them have got the brains of a size of a pea. I must just completely agree with you. The guy is an absolute idiot. And I must compliment Lynch on dressing up well, and that backpack really made him look more of a running back.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, and again, guy had a platform. And if you want to be, Mr. Counterculture, then don't show up and pay the fine. Now you're making a statement. That's how you make a statement to the media and to the NFL. That's how you say, I don't need you guys. I'm sure he was probably paid by Skittles to do that. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
Good, man.
Before I make my comments, I want to say how excited I am about the Super Bowl, and I'm rooting for the Patriots because that's my team.
All righty.
I'm very excited. Anyway, you know what? Watching Marshawn Lynch at that scrum yesterday kind of reminds me of how, you know, he handles the media, just like Phil Kessel does in a way, even though they're much, you know, different sports and that sort of thing. But you know what? I see a little bit of a similarity in like him and Kessel, because just like Lynch, Kessel is not very good with the media either.
Yeah, but you know what? I think the difference, Eddie, and I'll let you finish. I think Marshawn Lynch is a smart dude.
Oh, he is. Yeah,
I think he's a smart dude. That makes it even worse.
Yeah, but you know what? He kind of pushes the envelope more, whereas Kessel, he's like, I don't want to talk. I'll let my plane do the talking. But you know what? Lynch really can push the envelope. I mean, who would? I mean, prime example, the gold spikes. Who does that? I mean, that's going to be a fine, and you know what? He just pushes the envelope.
He's okay paying a fine for gold spikes, but he doesn't want to pay the fine for...
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's a free country, man. It's a free world. I just think if you got that platform and you want to make a difference, talk about something important. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. And listen, believe me, I understand. The whole idea of Media Day is stupid. It really is. It should be done away with, and maybe people would actually have to do some real reporting instead of hanging around with 150 other people getting the same clip that everybody else gets. So you can do away with Media Day. That's fine. And again, I've made the point often. If I was a pro athlete, I don't think I'd talk to the media an awful lot. Appreciate the call, Eddie. I'm serious. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with guys saying, you know what, I don't want to talk today. This idea that the media is a conduit between the fans and the players is a joke. TV is a conduit between the fans and players. Taped interviews, that's a conduit. But I mean, this idea that some guy writing a newspaper column or newspaper article is a conduit to the fans, no, he's not. Fans are going to go watch the NFL regardless of what's written about it. Jason in Hamilton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Jeff. Just first-time caller here. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
I just wanted to two quick comments here. First of all, that one guy who called and was backing up Marshawn Lynch, I don't know what the heck.
He's got a point, and there are people in Twitter. And you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is about NFL fans. Here's the thing. NFL fans have blinders on. If you're a Seahawks fan, you hate what I said. That's all. I mean, the NFL fans, it's sausage, right? All they know is it tastes good. They don't care how many steroids go into it, how many, you know, criminal offenses go into it. It tastes good. Their team is great. Their team can do no wrong. And God love them. That's the one thing NFL fans have over everybody else. Blind loyalty. Go ahead.
You know what, though? I'm a big Steelers fan. And if I was Le'Veon Bell or Ben Roethlisberger or something, I'd be embarrassed. I'd be like, wow, like, I mean, I'd still like the team, but I'd kind of, you know, be embarrassed for the player if he acted that way, because the way you described him, like, to me, when I first saw the interview, was exactly the same word you said. I was like, wow, what a punk this guy is. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting paid millions and millions of dollars, like stuff that the average person never gets to see. And all your owner tells you to do is, you know, talk to the media once in a while. You don't have to get too in detail with your answers or whatever, get too personal or whatever. But if your boss tells you to do it and he's paying you that much, like, I think 99.9% of the people out there would talk to the media.
Well, again, if you really have an issue with the media and you don't want to talk to the media, then, you know, man up, pay the fine, and don't show up. That's all. Maybe you want to grieve. Maybe you want to file a grievance against it. That's fine. I have no problem with that. Tell you what, if Marshawn Lynch didn't show up and file the grievance against the NFL, I'd come out and support him. I'd say, damn right, the guy shouldn't have to come out and speak to the media. 100%. If he doesn't want to show up, he shouldn't have to show up. I have no problem with that at all. The world will get by without hearing from Marshawn Lynch. But to show up and act like a punk so you don't have to pay $500,000, I mean, really, you've done nothing. And if you really think about it and you really want to make a statement, then when you have that platform, talk about something important. And what Marshawn Lynch did yesterday, frankly, was put himself ahead of the team. And how I appreciate the calls. Hockey Central at noon is next, followed, of course, by Tim and Sid. Both of them are back in their respective chairs. Bob McCowan, and then Leafs hockey tonight. Osborne, Stellick, Leafs Nation pregame, followed by the hockey game itself. Hockey Central's next. Have a great day, everybody.